All right, I'd like to call the February 7th meeting of Ways and Means to order. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes of December 13th and 19th regular meeting?
I will make a motion.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Resolution 11, requesting enactment of Senate Assembly Bill for the Relation to Hotel and Motel Occupancy Tax. A motion to pass possession. Second?
Oh, second for discussion.
Okay. Second?
I know the Republican caucus at one point was basically a no, and then I was told that if it's focused on short-term rentals, that there'd be a lot of yeses. You know, Tom Corcoran, for one, is somebody that's involved on the town level in regulating Airbnbs through home rule, which we aren't able to do, but I think the millions of dollars that we'd be raising by doing this, 99.9% out of town wealthy money, could then be shared down the road. If we pass this, we could then decide to share it with the municipalities for enforcement and for litigation. I think it does have a large part to do with the housing crisis. It's been on the docket for a year. We ended up at 8%, just short-term rentals. So I was hoping not to. There's something a little while that I'm totally fine with postponing for a month and talking about further, but this I was really hoping to act on.
Yeah, so I appreciate the discussion, and I also, though he didn't mention, appreciate Legislator Maloney's frustration, because I know that he has been an advocate for moving this and been open to moving other things forward more quickly. If I'm forced to vote today, which I know I'm not forced, I would be a no on this. I'm not in support of splitting out the hotel motels and the short-term rentals. I want to find a consistent number. I don't know that I would feel comfortable with 8, but there is a number where I would feel comfortable. There were also other aspects which I think we do need to address in the legislation, and I don't think they're all that hard. I realize it might affect some support, and not speaking to any individual support, I don't know what side of the aisle. I don't know which individual legislators will fall where, but I think we can reach a consensus on a solid number. And the other thing that I think is pretty critical is that we send one bill up to the state. I really am in opposition of sending this and then sending another and then sending a change to the law that would include the definitions of what's covered, which all of those things need to be dealt with. I'm committed to working expeditiously. I realize that Legislator Maloney is probably feeling like that hasn't happened, but we, for better or for worse, if we're voting on this, I would be a strong no.
Thank you. So I'm very similar opinion. One thing that I'm concerned about is the ability to get two bills passed through the state in this term, right? Even though they just started, it's still going to take a while to get that done. And I honestly believe that it would be much easier to get a hotel bed tax increase than it would be to institute a short-term rental tax locally like this by itself without addressing that. Because initially, right, this was presented because we were giving bargains on our tax to neighboring counties and neighboring states, right? That's how it was presented. And then short-term rentals came in after that conversation started, right? So now we've completely eliminated the hotel motel part of that, and we're strictly now short-term rentals. No, that's distinctly different in my mind. And I mean, if we're going to do a tax for visitors, then it's going to be, I think, one tax for everyone, right?
Yeah, I believe that the first bill that went in had both in it, and it gave us the option to go to 4 or 6% on everything, and even higher on short-term rental if we wanted to divide them out and do it differently. So it's a little frustrating now to hear, after talking to people for over a year, I volunteered to chair the subcommittee. I asked at the end of so many meetings and caucuses, when are we getting together again? Let's have this before the end of the year. We will, we will, we will. It's February. So I don't know what to say to everybody, because I know there's people here that are ready to act on this, that know it needs to be acted on. Now, I mean, others, we're watching other municipalities around us do all kinds of things with short-term rentals, and we've just sat here for years and cost ourselves millions of dollars. That's money we could use for housing in a lot of different ways, and like I said, it's money that we could use to open up housing and help towns open up housing, like Tom Corcoran could explain very well. You know, we got people living in flea bag motels, you know, and we're kicking a can down the road on this, paving trails in the woods. But I don't know what to say to everybody, because they put up a bill that could have went as one bill that gave us the option to do a lot of different things once they sent it back. But we're just not doing anything. And then most of the legislators that I talked to that actually got feedback said, let's just go aggressive on short-term rentals. So I put it in that way, because I couldn't get the working group to do anything on it or even meet for the last couple of months. So now here we are, and I hear this stuff. I don't know what to say to you anymore. Maybe we just won't do it. And something needs to be done, but I don't know what to do to make anyone do anything.
Yeah, so, you know, I feel very strongly that the bed tax on the hotels and motels needs to be increased. We've had this conversation in the subcommittee and among legislators and caucuses. There may be people who disagree with that, but I think there's at least some level of consensus. They've remained static for many years, and I believe Sullivan's at 5, City of Newburgh's at 4, I think Dutchess is at 4. So to me, it's about, and again, I've been clear about this, it's about picking a number and having, I will support one number across the board for Airbnbs and hotel motels, one number, where I want a distinction between the two. And again, I've been on the record on this, is that I would like to see the money from the hotel motel, at least a portion of it, at least, and we're going to have to decide what, dedicated to, and we heard this from the industry, dedicated to the creation of workforce housing. And I would like to see a portion of the money from Airbnbs shared with the municipalities, which is going to be a little challenging in terms of determining. We have numbers as to how many, and we probably shouldn't say Airbnbs, how many short-term rentals are registered in each town, but we don't have good data on how many short-term rentals are actually utilized in each town. We know, you know, we know what returns if they fall outside of the agreement with the platforms that exist. We know what returns we receive for those that fall out of that, for those that participate and are following the law and fall out of the agreement. But within the agreement, we don't know how much comes from Starbreeze and how much comes from Gardner. We have no idea. So that's going to take a little bit, but I'd like to see us create a distinction for that. I would also like to see the definition of what's included change to come into compliance with the modern day, which is to say that if you're renting something that you're not bringing, if you're bringing your own tent, you don't have to pay a short-term, you don't have to pay a hotel motel, but if you're staying at a $350 cabin that's determined to be impermanent but has plumbing and air conditioning, that should be included.
Granite,
we should be receiving
counters.
Yeah, we should be receiving bed tax revenue, and I'm fully ready to dedicate that revenue in the way I just said. I think we can do this in short order, not making excuses, but the last couple months were budget time, so I'm committed to moving forward. Again, I cannot support this the way it is, but there's a lot that I will support. So that's where I'm at.
Thanks. I start by agreeing that I would rather have one for everything. I think that my concern with the initial one was the fact that it had different rates. Like, I think that what I heard back then was, let's have a group that forms that determines like what the specificity is. But I was less bothered that it was for all short for all hospitality. In fact, Legislator Maloney, you're the one who kind of persuaded me why it's irrelevant on the hotel level as well. And so, but I do strongly feel like one that includes everything. I guess one thing, and you know, maybe I'm not as familiar when these have to go through the state, but I just wonder if we have to hold up getting a state approval to work out those details. Like, I would feel comfortable going to the state, asking them for an increase for all, you know, all for hotels and short-term rentals. And while we're waiting for that, we work out the policy details of what to do with the money rather than work all of that out and hold up this process to work it all out. I think we could do them at the same time. And so unless for some reason they need to hear our whole plan for the money, which is something I'm not, I would believe if that's true, but I don't know it. But if they can just hear we want to raise it and that's it, then I say let's change it to everything at one amount and not just multiple amounts, and then at the same time let's work out what we're going to do with the money.
So I think in terms of what we're going to do with the money, we don't have to work that out before, but the changes in the definitions that I'm talking about, which I think are pretty straightforward, that would have to be worked out before. Anything that's in that changes the enabling, which isn't how we spend the money, but is more comprehensive than just it's not just the percentage, that would all be worked out first. But we're not going to make everyone happy. We're going to have members of the industry and the public who are not happy about it, but I think we're at a place where let's come to an agreement on what the number is. If there's a consensus that we're going to do one number across the board, let's work out the other technical changes, and then let's also, the other thing that hasn't happened is, to my knowledge, is any outreach to our electeds to see who's going to carry it, because that's a big piece of the puzzle. So that's the other thing that we have to start doing as well, which is another reason why I feel very strongly that we should be sending one bill, not multiple bills with different numbers of sponsors and different levels of support. I think that's we're working against ourselves if we do that.
I'll just spend one quick for you in a second, but just so I can weigh in here, I agree that it needs to be one number for all. I felt very uneasy. I still question the legalities, whether or not it's legal to have treating one versus the other. I think there could be some challenge to that. So I agree with one set number there. I like the idea of setting out where the money's going to go. However, I'll just add to what Chair Bartels was saying. I think if we're going to give money back to municipalities, they have to cooperate and change their zoning. I don't think municipalities should get money back for not having zoning that is conducive to having affordable and workforce housing. There are several towns within the county that you just cannot build affordable workforce housing because their zoning prohibits it. So if they're going to get money out of this, it needs to go to the ones that are willing to put their money where their mouth is and actually start putting up housing and make it where people can do it. Yeah,
I agree with that.
So,
yeah. And I completely agree with the housing part, but I think we're developing and it's going to be unsustainable soon. So we have some conversations about different things. I think we need houses, not housing, but that's for another day. I think we're talking about some different things. When you talk about glamping and yurts, I think that is separate. To put those into the same piece of legislation, I think you might have challenges on what if we decide, what if we find out that it's, you know, we're going to have challenges in court about what glamping is or what a yurt is. They need to be separated out. It needs to be two pieces of legislation. It'd be great if they carried them at the same time if we had them ready, but the bed tax is the millions of dollars that we're losing. That's and at a time when there's lots of things to be done with that money. So they should be two separate conversations, and the bed tax is far more important right now. As far as sharing goes, it's never going to be perfect, but it'll be real close. I mean, even if you just went by the number that are advertised there, I mean, I think you'd have ones that are not being advertised or there that aren't being really rented out or rented out a different amount, but I think you'd have kind of an average. Every town would be susceptible to that, so the towns that have the most advertisements would probably have the most. You can put some other things in. You can talk about population or the size of the town, how many hotels are in their town, because the more hotels you have, the more probably opportunity you have for Airbnb as well, because they do go hand in hand the same way. So you could come up with some kind of an algorithm. It's not going to be perfect, but it'd probably be within a few percentage points of the towns and what percentage they have of the short-term rental market. And I think that's something that we can do later on, as far as earmarking, mandating a certain percentage in earmarking. I think times change, terms change, things change. We could decide to do with that money without a mandate to ourselves. But if you want to do that, that's also something that comes later after the bed tax. And if you want to combine them, I'm telling you, the legislator I've talked to, most of them wanted one number. We were told we could legally do that. I was on the record from the beginning saying I'm fine with both. I'm open to an amendment right now. Amend it to 4% and let's pass it and send it off. I mean, we're not talking about real abstract numbers. It's going to be 4%. It's going to be 5%. It's going to be 6%, probably. It's probably within 4 to 6%. If you are telling me, the entire Ways and Means is telling me they want it at 4%, Abe, you're a supporter of this. Do you care if it's motels and short-term rentals? Is it a killer? I think you're fine with it.
You're
probably fine with it.
Yeah.
Amend it right now. Combine it and vote on it at 4%. Let's send it off. Is that?
Yeah, I would like the month,
okay.
And I would like to talk further about the changes in the definition. But if that's not a total deal breaker to me, but I don't think it's as complicated as you think. I think we can change those definitions because it is in the legislation. And in terms of the dedication of funds, right now we limit ourselves. Bert, you might know offhand, is it $100,000 that we require goes to tourism?
It's
like
$150,000, or because we've exceeded in terms of lately with our occupancy tax, there is more in that fund balance now. I just don't know how the number right now.
So,
it's more than the $150,000.
So we currently, which I think is, you know, at one time that might have made sense, tourism, but I don't think that makes sense now in terms of where we would dedicate the money. So, and I think we might actually be able to get some support from, not that we need it, but from the industry, which, you know, these are important businesses in our community in terms of the actual hotel motel, if they understood, at least that's the conversations that were happening in the earliest days, if they understood that we were planning on dedicating some of the money to workforce housing. It's a severe challenge to the industry that they don't have places for the people that work there to live. So that would be, that it could be a positive concession that might win us some support in terms of, because we can ask for this to be carried. I mean, we've asked for lots of things to be carried, and sometimes they don't get carried, and very often they get voted down. So this is something I'd like to see succeed. I'd like to make the strongest argument for.
Can I just ask, you said you wanted a month. You talked about reaching out to legislators. You talked about getting the Lodging Coalition involved again. You're talking about the definition.
No, getting the
businesses involved.
Well, that's. I mean, I think you're paraphrasing what I said. I think I was reflecting on the fact that that was a point of agreement in the earliest discussions with the Lodging Coalition. I realize that we may never reach a point of consensus where the Lodging Coalition saying yes, please charge more taxes.
So I've heard any interaction with them over the next month.
I'm not upset to have interaction, but I'm saying interaction is not. To me, we're at a place where it's been 2% for so long. I, as one legislator, you and I have had this conversation. I, as one legislator, do not believe that people make decisions based on what the bed tax is. I don't believe that an increase to the bed tax would hurt these businesses. If I believed that it would, I would think differently about it. I don't believe that
it will. Do you
want
them to be involved in any which way over the next month?
I don't mind if they're...
How would that happen? What I'm asking you is logistically,
yeah,
over the next 30 days, we're going to be in this meeting again.
This meeting, you mean?
Yes.
Yes.
In 1 month. Like we have like 13 or 14 months in a row now. What is going to make the few people that are on Ways and Means ready to vote up or down on this in 30 days' time? What is going to happen over the next 30 days? That's what I'm asking. Because this conversation, you talked about Groundhog Day the other day.
Yeah.
It's been Groundhog Day.
And what's going to happen?
Another meeting. It's the same. Well, okay. Oh, another meeting, and on and on and on. Now we got another month. You just said I need a month. What is going to be different in a month? at this table. I'm just asking.
Well, what's going to be different is that we're going to have a document that addresses the things that I said. In the interim, Chair Gavaris could call a meeting, and we could have that discussion there to reach number. There would be outreach.
Yeah,
there would be outreach. There would need to be outreach, I'm sure, to legislators in terms of the number, because it doesn't work to say 4, 5, 6. Like, we should determine what the number is, and there should be one number that we're asking the state to give us. That's what I believe we should send up.
Do you know what number you want? This has been a topic for years. There's plenty of numbers I would vote on.
Yeah, there's more than one number I would vote on, too. But I wouldn't say yes to 8.
Can I just ask before we go, the 4 people that are here from Ways and Means, we have only 4 from Ways and Means here?
Mm-hmm.
What number would you like to say? Can I just poll 4 right now? Actually, we got a lot of legislators. Take 2 seconds. What number would everyone like to see? We'd be halfway there to knowing what we want to know.
Yeah.
4.
4.
4.
Yeah.
6.
6.
But I'd vote for 4 or 5.
I'd vote for 5. I'd have a problem with 4.
Four.
I'd like to see 6 or 5.
Okay.
4 or 5, I'm good for.
Brian?
Joe? 5.
5.
That's a nice number.
Sounds like 4. Let's just do it.
Can I just, you had your answer.
Yeah, I did. And I just want to say this, that, you know, my opinion, strictly my opinion, is that I think what we should do is establish what we want to go forward with, notify people that this is what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
right? They've had, this happened the last time I was here, and I always say that, but it did. They did the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
They came in, they disrupted our process, and they tried to influence us and tell us how bad it was for their business, and they've done nothing but grow since then, you know, exponentially in some cases, right? And so I don't buy that. I don't buy the lobbying group at all. Don't buy it. I never did, and I never will. So, you know, we have to do what we have to do, and then notify them that that's what we're doing. We heard their story. I've heard it several times. I don't need to hear it again. You know, that's the way I feel about it.
They cost us $1.56 million with their nonsense with the
legislative water.
I'm committed. It's in a month. This has 4 or 5% on it for all. The other elements that Chair Bartel brought up to vote in favor of it. I don't. If people from Hotel Motel show up and complain, that's not going to change my mind,
right,
or my vote. Doesn't mean that they are not welcome. Of course, they're always welcome. But I'm saying to you, I'm saying that I'm sympathetic to the fact that you feel like, let's get this moving. I'm happy to offer if making a phone call to one of our senators or assembly people will be helpful. I will be offer my time. I want this to go through as well, and whatever it's going to take to make it go through next month, I'm happy to help. So you can just let me know.
Dealing with short-term rentals has been important for me for a while. Working on the Tourism Advisory Board for 10 years, I saw an increase in the tourism monies that are coming into this county. And so maybe we should look at the counties surrounding us that do have these increased rates and what their tourism rates have been doing. Because to say that tourism is going up here is true, but there are a lot of factors. And to characterize the communications that we had from the lodging industry as complaints, I didn't view it that way. I viewed it that they were informing us of what the impact of COVID had been on their industry. And there was a clear request that we not do this at that time. Now we are at a different time, and I think it is worth listening to those who would be impacted by it. And I think we should have some data to look at whether or not we have a need with the tourism monies that we have coming in to make a change that would potentially change that. And, you know, it's just already a very strong sector for income for the county. And so you want to make it more? I would say let's take some of what we already have and dedicate that to the affordable housing things that we want to do and let it keep doing what it's doing. It may be the case that there's no fair way to single out short-term rentals, which affect the housing market in ways that motels and hotels do not. So since they affect the housing market and have caused a problem, I'd rather find a way to target them. If we're at this stage, then I will, you know, have to redouble my efforts to look at the legal implications of doing that. But I just don't see that there's a problem with the hotel and motel sector that this fixes. And if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Thank you. So my reference was to 15 years ago when we proposed increasing bed tax by 2%. And we almost got an identical presentation, except it wasn't COVID then, it was the Poconos, or it was the Jersey Shore, or it was, you know, Sullivan County, right? It was always, it's a moving goalpost when it comes to the Lodging Coalition. And I'm going to ask you this question. Is there anything that you think that we would present that they would agree to when it came to raising the bed tax? Because my experience over the course of now seven plus years has been the answer is no. They will never agree that a bed tax is a solution to anything. And we're not trying to fix a problem, right? That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to get equal footing with the neighboring counties and other places that are charging more tax than we are. We're leaving money on the table that we shouldn't be leaving on the table. We're giving away that 2% for each bed tax. As Chairman Bartel said, Chairperson Bartel said, that's not preventing anybody from coming. If you're spending $500 a night at the Emerson or $450 a night at Mohonk, you know, $8 isn't changing your mind.
Yeah, they're paying less than 1% at the all inclusive.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, and the other thing to think about, which in part responds to Legislator Nolan, is that, you know, yes, we're in a solid fiscal footing today, but this would be a steady source of revenue that, and when you think of money that's been left on the table, steady source of revenue. And that's why I think it's important that we talk about what we're going to utilize in part the revenue for, because we're not always, I mean, there are very few opportunities where we have to raise revenue but for on our own citizens. And this is a source of revenue charged to people who are visiting our county. And I think it's actually could be a critical piece of ongoing funding for some of the programs that we want to see have funding in a recurring way, which is why I think it's really important that we think about it, including partnership with the municipalities who, yes, I think we could talk about limitations to it, but I think as it relates to Airbnbs, we know that the municipalities deal with, if there is a burden, it's the municipalities that are dealing with the burden in terms of responding to issues. And I would say as far as Airbnbs, it's like we can't paint Airbnbs with one, I'm sorry, short-term rentals with one brush. I mean, we all know, while yes, they're affecting the housing stock, they're also in some cases keeping people in their homes. I know people that leave their homes and go stay on friends' couches, rent their homes out for weekends in order to pay their taxes to be able to stay in their homes. Like, that exists here too. So, I mean, I just think that there's a lot of things going on and that we have this opportunity to raise a revenue and be smart about where we dedicate it that's going to outlast, you know, those of us at the table, and I don't mean that in any specific way. I just mean we're not all going to be here forever as legislators forever, so it would be smart to make those decisions now too. And I'm committed to doing it within a month also, and I would ask that Chair Gavowers would call a meeting in short order on that subject.
I would just say that 10 years ago, when we did not change the bed tax, that was a bit of an experiment, and I think that tourism in Ulster County has done very well in terms of its growth, not raising that. And I think that you'll be doing an experiment here if you change this, and we should look. Because I think it's very, you know, it's glib, I think, to say that people don't care about $8. I think that's true for a lot of these rooms. They don't care about $8. But what the tourism industry in Ulster County has done has created a brand of what we are. And that brand does have a, you know, it's attractive to people. We do have people coming here for our yurts and our glamping and for what they expect will be some blend of a rustic experience with what the comforts that they choose. That's a large part of our tourists. It's not all of it. We do have the people who bring their tents, and I'm, you know, grateful for all the sectors. But I think that we have done very well. So having parity with another county would make sense to me if I thought they were doing it better. But I'm not convinced of that.
So apparently, and I just Googled it, but Dutchess County raised it in 2004 and have shown consistent growth over the time period since they've raised it in 2004. So we do have documented evidence. And I believe earlier, and maybe I'm wrong, but I saw Legislator Maloney actually looked at several other counties, but I think that in the counties that have increased it, there is evidence that they have not declined, but they've actually shown growth, just like we all have.
Let's look and see if it compares with our growth.
Well, the only way to do that is to raise our
No.
We'll look back in 4 years.
Look at our growth.
I feel comfortable to know that a neighboring county that increases their rate did not see a penalty as a result of it. I feel pretty comfortable with that. And I don't think we have any evidence of any county who has raised their rates and then suffered as a result of it.
I will look for something.
We're all travelers.
We don't have the evidence either way.
The 23 of us could just do a mini poll ourselves, and if one of us ever stayed at a place, went to a different town or county to stay on a single trip, I'd be surprised if we could find one example of it. So it's just a silly conversation.
I find myself looking at the bill to see how much we're not collecting, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Just check if I use the refrigerator.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Moon, you're okay with us postponing for a month?
I'm going to have to be.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to postpone for 1 month.
I'll second.
Okay. Second discussion. I will not be, because of the schedule change, at the first Ways and Means meeting, if it's okay with Legislative Moloney, if somebody would also just amend it to be the second meeting, I'd like to vote on it then.
We have
set it first? Okay.
Yeah, we'll set it for the first.
All right.
Meeting. But, and you'll call a meeting.
Yeah,
in between,
so
in short order.
I'd like to see if we could do the chat before that meeting. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. All right, resolution number 400, amending the 23 budget for the Ulster County Agricultural Crisis Relief Program as presented for you. The motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Resolution 486, adopting Ulster County Information Services and Tight Key Policy. Okay, have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
Discussion? Chair Bartow.
So I would ask that we postpone this a month, but again, in the interim, that we put together some kind of stakeholders meeting with the director of Information Services in order to address concerns and conform. I think it's pretty important that we get this moving, but it is a lot, and it's. I know that Director Macaluso made some red line changes. I would request that we ask anyone who wants to be engaged to review those changes and comment and mark up, and if we can then get around a table, however we can do it. Great.
Thank you. I agree with the chair. I'd be happy to coordinate. I spoke with the director before the meeting, and now that this is one of my departments, I want to sink into it a bit. So if you give me a few weeks to review with the director, and then if you guys throw me some names, I can coordinate the meeting.
And I would say that I know that the comptroller raised a series of specifics and concerns, so if we can share those and include the comptroller's office as well. As well as the legislative office, which would be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
We could
try to coordinate, just so we don't have multiple meetings with the same committee, coordinated with also the hotel occupancy meeting as well on the same evening.
Okay.
Try to,
Okay.
All right.
I mean, make a motion to postpone 1-1.
Thank you. Second.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution number 8, establishing policy disclosure of names of individuals holding ownership and fees doing business Wall Street. Have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second it.
Oh, discussion?
I'd like to discuss it, but then I would like to put it off 1 month and just get some opinions from a couple of people. There's a couple of changes that I would like to make, but this is basically just, you know, as we enter into leases and whatnot with LLCs where we never know who the real owner is. I think most people I talk to agree that it's a fair ask to find out who's got ownership in the LLC. I could give examples of ways it would have been nice to know the last couple of months, but that just makes people uncomfortable usually, so I won't say the Freeman Building for one or Citizens Bank, but I think is something that makes sense, and I'll be reaching out. I think the chair has some opinions on how to strengthen it, and I think it could be strengthened a little, maybe even getting it into our financial system onto the resolution. I know we have to be careful of people's right to privacy, so we got to figure that out, but I do think we should not be entering into agreements with just fictitious names, you know, Higginsville
yeah.
Station or whatnot.
Yeah, I look forward to talking to Legislator Maloney about this. I do have some ideas about strengthening this, and, you know, on the face of it, I'll just say I'm in strong support of it. I'm not even sure that the issue of privacy would come into play. I mean, there are neighboring states that the whole state has these kinds of policies in place, and just a natural function of doing business. So you fill out the form when you're bidding, and it contains all this information. And I'll reach out to Legislator Maloney because I have some ideas about expanding it potentially even beyond beyond just the level of ownership. I don't want to bring it up right now, but I'm very interested in it.
So the one question I have, Legislator Maloney, is what's the difference between this and the ethics disclosure that are filed by county officers?
I don't think we can require a private entity to. I don't think they fill out some firm that we enter into a contract with. I don't think they're on our list of charter mandated disclosure forms. Does that answer?
Yeah. So I mean, I can answer the question. Maybe I don't know if it's going to be exactly the answer to the question. So our ethics forms, as Legislator Maloney said, have to do with elected officials and certain appointed and hired officials who's ever in the class that has to fill it out. You know, what this would do would create a level of transparency such that if the Yellow Bunny Corporation was bidding on a contract and it was Yellow Bunny LLC or any number of types of corporations, they would be required to disclose those people that have a 10% ownership, which I think gives the public also a level of confidence that there is transparency in business.
And what's on the other side of that? So we get a list of people that have 10% ownership with it, private citizens who are mm-hmm. investing in our community. What's on the other side of finding out who they are? That's my question, really. What does that mean?
You would like an example?
Yeah.
I asked people who own the Freeman Building, and I was told Scott Dutton, and that's all people knew. But when I went and investigated who Higginsville Station was, Bob Ryan was one of them. We entered into an agreement with the executive's close family member without knowing it. Is that a good enough example?
I think that, you know, this is a small community, first of all, and some families are very large, like the Ryan family, right, who have multiple generations and, you know, several cousins and offshoots of that family that, you know, kind of hard not to have that kind of relationship in a community like this sometimes.
Should we know it, though?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I mean, I'm not adverse to knowing it. I'm not adverse to knowing it, but my concern is really that, you know, for every Higginsville, there's, you know, 9 others who are just people who are investing in our community that have no connection at all to anybody, right?
They would rather do business under a fake made-up name.
Well, okay.
Let's just find out who we're doing business with.
All right. Legislative team.
Thank you. You know, when you go to look up businesses under the state of the state incorporation, a lot of times it just has, you know, individually filed with an address where you could mail things. When I worked for the Resource Recovery Agency, we would put bid documents out. It did require a list of the principal holders and also a sign-off by them that there was no, you know, federal or local felony charges. So I think it is important, even as principals within an organization, you're protected under that organization or corporation. But, you know, we should be able to see who is participating in it. So, you know, I do agree. And it's not that easy to find.
Ms. Serner?
Never mind.
Chair Bertels?
Yeah, so I was just going to say to Legislator Cahill's comments that I don't think, you know, a corporation name, maybe I used a bad example, isn't necessarily, you know, a made-up name to give cover, whether it's an LLC or another name. It's just the way that the organization's incorporated. And sometimes an LLC just has the, you know, the person just has a sole member and it has that person's name. But I don't really see the downside to having that information be public when you're using public funds and it's in public contracting. Seems to me there isn't anything inherently negative about a company that's doing regular business with the county, whether they be locals or others, but it should be readily available to the public who those principals are. And I don't really see a downside to the transparency aspect of it. And again, you know, I have some other ideas about potentially expanding it, which I'll speak to the sponsor and others about. And there are models, sort of good government models across the country. New York just happens not to be one of the states that, as a state, requires this, but other whole states require very similar sign-off and transparency in all their public bidding and all their public contracts.
Question is this meant to be like a public-facing database that we're going to maintain of all LLCs and corporations that apply for county bids, contracts, all of it?
It wasn't written that way, no. It was written some of it would become foilable when you talk about our constituents being able to look at it, but a lot of it was for our own edification as we vote to approve these things and just having it on the record, and then our citizens would have access to it. So, but
citizen access means a database tracking and maintaining all of this. And
no, they could simply say you have a contract with this. It'd be a
bid document or a database. What is it?
Well, if it was in the resolution, that's what we're going to go over the specifics of. If it's in the resolution, who has ownership of it? Then it's publicly able right there for the citizen.
So this is just saying file with the court.
If we put it into our financial system instead of having, like we do now, sometimes I contact our budget analyst and I say, can you just look up who the contact is for this lease?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes through the email or something like that, I can start to figure out who the hell even we're doing business with because we just have a name there. So perhaps if it's in the financial system, do you have any ideas? Do you want to support this and show us what you think as far as houses? But that's what we're thinking.
I think
so
I'm just asking a question on implementation, whether this is meant to be like a robust and, like, to Chair Bartels' point, if this is happening in a sunlight and a transparency effort in multiple states, do they have a public-facing database that tracks all of these things? Because the way that it's written just says we'll file the information with the clerk, which just means it's foilable. That's a step towards it, right? Like, that's the step towards transparency. But are we going to create this new entity that is going to have all of this information, which it could be the financial system, that's how it could be set up, but I'm just wondering, is that going to, I don't know, if that's the goal of it.
I didn't foresee us. Some of the things you mentioned I foresaw happening.
Okay.
But I did not foresee us asking IS to add to the county website a LLC directory or anything with who.
That was the nature of my question.
The reason you're asking is probably because the states that Tracy's referencing to that do it may have something
I'm
like
asking
that.
Asking if there's going to be additional work assigned to the department and implementation of a new law.
I didn't foresee that at all.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Yeah,
I would see this as just a part of the bid document. The company would have to disclose who their stakeholders are.
Okay.
And I will just add, you know, from another hat that I wear, I've seen something a little even more stricter than this, which is that when you fill out a bid document, you have it says, do you have an interest in, or a family member who has an interest in the company that you were pretending to, who the bid is through, and do you have a relationship with anybody with a position of influence? And that's a key thing, because to Kale's point,
yeah.
So let's use Legislator Maloney's example before about the Freeman Building. While the former executive himself was not doing the negotiating, there could be an argument made that he, as the top person in the job, has influence over his subordinates who then were negotiating the agreement. I'm not saying that was the case, I'm just saying, but that is what could be implied happened. So this would at least now, from what my experience is where you have it more strict, where nobody would be involved who has a position of influence in that process. This is a little looser, in my opinion, but I'm saying I've seen others that are far more strict.
I'm open to adding that to the bid, or, you know, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily have to be in this resolution.
Just make a motion to postpone this for a month.
Second.
Isn't that what you requested?
Yeah.
I'll second.
So I'll be reaching out to you first, probably.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Resolution number 11, authorizing the chair to execute a grant application for...
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second.
Question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution number 12, approving the execution of a contract for $122,000 for
a
second.
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
So, it's professional services. Do we go out to RFP for these bids, or are we just
awarded? We had a 1-year extension, so we didn't have to.
Okay. Because it just said professional services, so we originally went out to RFP?
I believe so, but I can confirm. But
okay.
These are extensions.
Okay.
I'll check on that.
Yeah, if you could just get back to it. It's not anything that would stop me from supporting it. I just would like to understand.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that would be the same for 13 and 14.
Yep.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 13, we may receive a contract for
$90,000.
I'll move it. Second. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. Resolution 14, for the extension of contract for $145,000 for World Care. Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Resolution 15, for the extension of the contract 172 for HRI. Second.
Second.
Okay. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution 17, amended the 2023 budget to accept individual allocation from
your
second.
I'll second it.
Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Resolution 18, approved next user contract amendment for 114. Second.
I'll second it.
Okay, discussion.
So I have a question and a comment. Is this to increase the not to exceed because it was utilized, or because we because of the hourly rate we're paying people?
It's because families with staff expanding services are adding 2 part-time staff.
Okay, so they're expanding services. So then my comment, which is, and I've made this once before on this topic, is I think that, and I don't know the answer to this, but I feel like we have to do a better job, or someone has to do a better job advertising this service. I just, as a means of experimentation, I Googled to try to get to these numbers, and I couldn't.
Okay.
I searched for, like, in need, Ulster County hotline, Ulster County services, Ulster County hotline for shelter, and none of those numbers came up. I would also add that maybe it's worth having a conversation or looking into the ability to have one number that we could get out as like the number, and then have that number parsed out to the relevant location. And again, I'm saying this based on
like a call center,
like a 311
call
center.
No, yeah, no, I don't mean that. I'm saying if here,
too soon.
Okay. yes, but whatever the number is.
you know, we've got one number for Ellenville, one number for New Paltz, one, and I can't even get that number Googling with keywords for services, so I feel like we must be falling short for catching people who really need it. And I say that, you know, in, like, as a constructive criticism. And I have said it before on this service. So.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It was on my list to get a sense of when the folks are actually hired, so we can, even from our office, widely disseminate that the service is now available. But I'll also put it on the radar of Michael Berg and Commissioner Iapozzi that the hotline itself needs to be
but just better. Yeah. And it, even if there's something we have to do on our end to help, like, I don't know the answer, but, you know, in reading the Schedule A, it says 24/7, and again, it's just when there's five different numbers, depending on which community you're calling from, and when they're not easily searchable, and again, that's for someone with a computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I question whether we're really reaching wide enough, but thank you.
Say what?
Yeah, forget it.
All right, all those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 19, approving execution of contract for $75,000 for Kevin. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
So carried. 21, approving execution of contract for $200,301 for United Way. Motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So carried. 22, authorizing chair to execute execution of contract for second?
I'll second.
I'm sorry.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 23, amending the 2023 budget to accept funding from second.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 24, amending the 2023 budget to approve.
I'll move it.
Second. Second.
I'll second.
Chair Patel's discussion? All those in favor?
I just confirmed. This was, the backup suggested was from a desk audit. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah. And we didn't get the desk audit until after the budget, which is why it's happening now.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 25, approving the execution of contract 115.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed?
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Did I get the answer on this? This one, is this new? It says the funding is other. What is the, where's the funding from?
Opioid settlement.
Opioid settlement, thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 26, approving the execution contract for $290,000 for SEI. Can I motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Motion? All those in favor?
I have a question.
Okay.
Sorry. So this is showing 50% federal, 50% state. There's no county contribution?
This is the SUNY one.
Yeah, no, I'm just used to seeing county contribution.
Yeah, I know. It's 50 state.
Yeah, so it seems I have never seen a...
They presented the document because Eric called me.
Isn't that unusual?
It
I've
is.
Never
it
seen
is.
It.
No, normally it's 50% state, 50% county on the SUNY contract, and this has to do with a capital project.
Exactly. That's
so, I definitely can get more answers for you.
Can we hold it a month, maybe?
Yeah.
A week.
Yeah, we'll get an answer.
Sorry.
Should have postponed a week.
I have the same question.
Can I second? Mr. Walter? All those in favor?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right, carried. Thank you. 27, authorized and chair legislature to enter an intermunicipal agreement for the Office of Employment.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second. How are the municipalities chosen? And is there the opportunity to expand? Because municipalities that are listed, you know, you have, I don't have it in front of me right now, but it's like four from Ellenville, three from Kingston, two from Roseville, one from Garden. There's a lot of municipalities that aren't there. So.
You want me to find out?
Yeah, I'd like to know if there's still the opportunity for other municipalities to get engaged, if that's a locked number, or if that's just showing where we're at right now, and if so, what the outreach is going to be to other communities in terms of the programming.
I'll find out from Cheryl.
Can I hold it, make a motion to postpone for one
second.
Week?
I'll second to postpone.
Discussion of motion in favor.
Thank you.
Thank you. 28, proving exclusive contracts for 62,016 for planning and design. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it. Which one are we on? Sorry.
28.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. 34, amending the 23-2028 capital fund.
I'll move it.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second it.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 38, authorizing the chair to execute a development agreement.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Trevor.
I'm going to ask for a week on this one. I've been trying to follow up to just be 100% clear on some issues related to the sites that were reported in the press, but mm-hmm. that I don't have a final answer on. So I just would like to understand better. I think that this is a very worthwhile project, and I appreciate that it's before us, but I'd like a week to get some answers.
I think that we also asked some questions at the chairs committee, like, you know, who maintains ownership and all various other questions that were listed, so it'd be helpful to get those answers.
So I can answer in part because of the environment. So my understanding is that it's a development agreement with private, and anyone who can correct me if I'm wrong, with a private company, but the intention is that the organization would plan to own the property and pay the back taxes, but a whole another proverbial can of worms was opened recently, which I would just like to get some on.
So I was part of the RFP review committee on this, and we selected AC Power because they were the only entity interested in actually owning the Superfund site, which was part of our RFSOQI. So I think responsible party in terms of the Superfund site is actually Ford Motor Company. So they're the EPA responsible party, but in terms of the owner, it's non-entity. We're going to take it, and then the total sale price would be for that property. The Ucker thing, is that what we're kind of talking about? We don't own the property yet. We're going to foreclose on it, and we were never approached about that being part of the discussion, and that was literally never part of the discussion when we were reviewing the RFP or issuing enough of QI in order to do solar specifically. So not part of the discussion. Landfill was never broached to us. Not our idea. Solar's our idea.
Pleasure to petite.
Thank you. Just to say that use of a Superfund or brownfield site for solar is excellent because I'm not in favor of cutting down trees. But to address the question that the reporter had brought up, he was not given access to a report that he wanted because that HydroQuest report was not finalized and not really and not prepared to the specs of the resource recovery agencies. So there's other underlying things going on here, and since they didn't accept that report, I'm assuming that whatever was in there is not really in the, you know, available for whatever landfills they would be looking at. I don't even know how to express this, but, you know, that report was not accepted by the agency. That's why it was not released, and I don't think that Plattekill landfill is even in the running.
No, it's capped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
there's contiguous property, though, isn't that what you said?
Yeah. Again, it's like I don't want to give too much weight to it, but I got some of the response that you said, but I really would like to see the report, and I've asked to be able to see.
Even though it's incomplete and wasn't officially accepted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. yes. And I think that this, you know, we wouldn't be doing our due diligence. I'm wary about being too vocally overt, given that this is an issue that creates very extreme reactions in people and in towns. I have spoken to the legislator from the district and urged and assured him that this isn't specifically on the table right now. What's on the table right now is solar. But I also think in order to be responsible legislators, we should find out what actually has been looked at. We should determine that this is really really not something to have on the table. There could be almost no more critical issue facing this county in the next 10 to 15 years than a final disposition of our solid waste. And you and I have invested a lot of time in this, and I know that you and I are on the same page in terms of the priority of diversion and downsizing and et cetera, but we need to be self-sufficient and control our own destiny. That is not to say that I'm advocating for anything. I'm saying I have a total absence of information. I was taken by surprise at that meeting, and after that meeting, not at the meeting, after the meeting, and I would like to make a decision based on information, not assume that it's all fine and, you know, I'm just going to move forward because I never saw it and I'll pretend it doesn't exist.
Right.
It exists, and I'd like to just understand what exactly is being discussed at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they're the RRA to have that report for over a year and not be, you know, actively trying to complete it if it, I mean, it's being said to be incomplete, but we don't know that. All we know is that it's not been released, and agencies often do this. They, you know, keep something draft so that it's not foilable. It's a, you know, an interagency document until it's complete. But this is information that this legislature wanted, and I think that at the very least, if it's an interagency hold on that information, that it should be released to the legislators that are working on this issue. I think that the idea that this is that if there's further work that needs to be done, it seems like it should be being done, and I don't think that had been happening. And the question is, the decision is to go on for further information, what's that being based on? You know, right now that I don't think we're getting full information from the UCRRA, and I think we should get it. As the chair is saying, this is a really critical issue, and for them to have something, even in draft form, I think should be shared with the legislature.
Ms. Adamoni.
Are we on AC Power? Sorry, I stepped out
mm-hmm.
for a minute. Yeah. Some of what we were kind of getting into the other night, one thing was when I took a look at the bid, it looked like in there, when we went out to bid, that we put in there that we may include a public beneficiary corporation in this, and I didn't know why that was put in there. Is there plans to possibly have the Housing Corp or the EDA involved? I just wondered why that was put into the bid.
I honestly have no idea. The intention is that we sell it to the to these people directly.
That's another thing, but I just don't know why that wording was in the RFP.
They're going to pay the back taxes, and then we offload it to them.
I don't know why we would
know that we need an EDA or an offload. So
but it's in the bid.
I have no idea, Joe. I can look in to see
okay.
why the language was in there, but the bid document doesn't always make it into the contract, and that's what's important.
Oh, I know, but obviously
so.
there had to be some kind of conversation about possibly including
yeah.
the EDA or the Housing Corp for it to end up in the bid.
I don't know that to be true. I think
how would it end up in there?
I think you're drawing a conclusion based on a bid that it's one of two organizations that has to be part of the impetus behind this. I don't know that. I said I'll get the information. I don't know.
Okay, I don't. I just. Who wrote the
I know, but
I mean, I was
you're drawing conclusions,
and, wasn't that
and I
that
said I'll get you the information,
okay.
though. All
right.
That's all.
And we are 6 out of 7 of the companies that answered the bid did not want to own the property.
That's correct.
So
and one of the main deciding factors around AC Power had
owning.
Them owning.
Yes, so they create,
yeah.
so what AC Power does differently
well,
is
that.
They create a subsidiary for holding land. So they're creating a model which they can be more, honestly, just much more competitive in owning Superfund sites and dealing with them properly. Some companies aren't ready to take that leap.
And initially, part of some of how we're doing this is kind of revolving around the fact that we never want to own this. We want to go from, only own it for a second, where I really
yes.
thought it became a little more convoluted than it needed to, where we should have just taken it and not worried about the liability, taken it and then done this.
We're not going to take a Superfund site like that.
No,
that's not going to happen.
We absolutely should.
No.
So that's not
and
a proper
and
process.
Just
that's
you, that's
a county
liability.
That's
yeah.
more of
not
a
chance.
That's more of a excuse me. That's more of a policy decision than a day-to-day operations yeah. decision. And that is once again another example
that
of
we
the legislature not doing policy
site,
and the executive
sight unseen.
It doesn't have to be sight unseen.
Legislative okay. Let's stick to this. And
well, how do we ever change this
right.
and become the policy-making body?
Just revisiting the report, could we get a legal opinion if it's an unofficial and incomplete report that then was in the possession of the legislature? Would it then be foilable? It's still not foilable.
It's interagency.
It's a draft.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Oh, I just want to... I don't know where it came up, but I don't want it to be misconstrued that the agency is not being forthcoming. I had a really good conversation with the agency director about this, and I will follow up with another call, and I need to do my due diligence, which I will report back to the legislature on it.
Just one last question or thought. If we were never... ever going to take ownership of this, then why did 6 out of the 7 bids come in? Why did we allow 6 out of the 7 bids to come in as them not owning?
The process is a temporary incidence of ownership, so we can transfer the property to a new owner. It's what
but
we would do with any... I can't speak for the private entities that replied to a request for a statement of qualifications. We were very specific in what we requested. And the intention is to not own Superfund sites or brownfields where we don't have to. So it can be back on the tax rolls and used for other purposes. I cannot speak to why 6 out of the 7 replied the way that they did.
Well, just for clarification,
yeah.
the winning or
Chair,
the
I can't hear.
The approved or what we're planning on approving or looking
mm-hmm.
at approving the bid that we would be approving, they would take ownership of the entire
yes.
site?
Yes.
Do we know what percentage of the physical, you included a property dimension
map.
Right here, do we know what percentage of the physical map is
so what you're seeing
Superfund
in the
site?
Center is the CAP landfill.
Mm-hmm.
And
their
intention is to put it on the CAP landfill and not disturb the forest and the other growth.
Is
so
there a reason why we wouldn't
because
subdivide?
That's all forest. I don't know. To subdivide the property and keep it, it's landlocked.
Right.
It would become kind of useless. We have an access road that cuts in there, but the rest of it would be landlocked then.
But we don't know if they would clear cut all of this to make that.
That's not the plan that we're looking to do. It was to do it just on the CAP landfill, and the construction of it is specific to that purpose.
But what I'm saying
is
not
to cut the forest down.
Once we transfer the whole property, then it would be their property. So that wouldn't
be
a part of it. Wouldn't be a part of this discussion, but
it would
be up
between
them and
the contract when we go to the land transfer.
Yeah.
Deed restriction is what it would end up being.
We are contemplating a deed.
Well, no, I'm saying
that's how we would do
right.
it if it's
right.
if that's the intent and that's what we want to maintain, that the rest of the forest stays.
And again,
undisturbed.
Just this is all forest.
Yes.
Is this all privately held?
Outside of it,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think a deed restriction would be good.
And
sure.
One last question: is that a pond lake?
I'm not sure if it's a retention pond or if it's a pond.
Do you want to make a motion to postpone?
Yes, please. A motion to postpone.
1 week.
1 week.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. 39, amend the 2023 county budget to accept funds from...
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Number 40, authorizing the chair and legislature to execute the payment of the tax for a new solar. Second.
I'll second it.
Everybody else? Question?
I got a quick question. So is this routine for... To give the, I'm actually not quite sure how that works. It's the anticipated revenue is megawatts, right? So is that a dollar value on that?
Yeah. It's negotiated with the town. It is per megawatt.
Yeah.
Because we could have 2 megawatt sites, could have 5 megawatts. So they do negotiate. create based on a per megawatt. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
This is per 5 megawatts,
I think? Yeah, I think this is a 5 megawatt site.
Okay,
questions?
Good.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. 41, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $20,000 for Kennywick, Texas. Question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those are carried. 42, approving the execution of a contract pointed out for Rocco.
Second.
Discussion? Chairman Hill.
So there were some outstanding questions. It did move out of environment. And there's also, I spoke with the county executive today, anticipate a meeting with key stakeholders. My conversation with the county executive was cut short. We talked about postponing it. She said she would be comfortable with postponing it for 1 month. I'm comfortable with postponing it for 1 month. And that'll allow the time for the meeting to take place and the questions to be answered.
Motion.
I'll make a motion to postpone for 1 month.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. 43, approving the extension contract for 136,666. Thank you. Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
44, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an agreement with Town of Lloyd. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay.
Walter, discussion? Chair Bartels.
So this is the first of, I expect many that we're going to see coming through, funded by ARPA.
Yeah.
Glad to see it happening. Glad to see them getting executed.
I am trying to just, there's like 13, 14 contracts, and on the back of these are just lots of different exhibits in detail, which is what's bogging down the process. So I'm going to try and work on resourcing the ARPA group in order to accelerate these. The projects are approved. We've let the municipalities know they'll get their money, but now I need some better resource so they can accelerate the contracts to get them to you all. So I just wanted you to know, because I know you guys have supervisors and everyone else calling you, that it's just a lot of contract work. So,
just as a comment, and I don't really care if you do this or not, it would just be nice. So, anytime that somebody's doing a water tank, they should invest in the time and effort to look at inline turbines for electric generation. Since you already have the gravity feed anyway, and a lot of the way they produce it is by putting pressure reducing valves. The way to eliminate that cost is to put in a inline turbine, which generates electric, and you've got a revenue source, essentially.
Okay.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So carried. 45, approving the extra contract amendment for $28,000. Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 46, approving the extra contract amendment for
second? Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So carried. 47, authorizing the chair of legislative issues in the
Congress.
Second?
Second.
No discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 48, authorizing the chair of legislative issues in agreement with New York State Division of Criminal. Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 49, the issues of contract for $100,000. Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Aye.
In favor? Resolution 50, amending the 23 county budget full-time.
For discussion.
Second.
I'll second it.
Discussion.
Yeah. So this did pass law enforcement public safety. I was the only no. The concerns that I had at the time related to whether this is really kind of a band-aid to the problem, having a person who is an investigator working full-time when they have security concerns at their new location. So Chair Bartels and I went and visited the DA's office today and walked around and listened and learned more about these security concerns. The long story short, since this has been a long enough meeting, and the DA is supportive of this, is that that we vote this down and that he can internally work on extending his investigator part-time to full-time for 2 months while the sheriff is coming in and doing a security analysis, and then we could be looking at, there's a lot of elements of the space that were clearly problematic, and that having that, taking care of this just for a 2 month that he could do without us having to have a resolution would give us the time to really make sure we have the right solution for what needs to happen with the DA's office, because it's a bigger problem than just this. And so, yeah. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
I just wonder why we didn't just postpone it in case this is part of what needs to be done in 2 months and it's already here and in front of us.
Well, I wouldn't postpone it because I still don't think this is personally, because I don't think this is the right solution, regardless of a person who has other responsibilities. Part of the issues were that these investigators have other responsibilities. I haven't done that yet. And the concern is their capacity to actually keep the area safe if they have to get called out for something or whatever. So, I mean, I feel like, and, you know, DA can speak, the idea of him, being able to make this this investigator full-time for 2 months is actually gives us more flexibility and more time than just 1 month does. And then we'll regroup on what really is the right thing, including, you know, there are many elements related to the space that have to be discussed and explored. So, you know, I'd feel far more comfortable really taking a careful look at the whole situation and find the right solution for the DA rather than these piecemeal.
Yeah, I agree with Vice Chair Walter, although I would say I'm okay with postpone. We can only postpone for a month. I'm okay with postponing for a month at this point, knowing that the DA would be internally doing what he needs to do, what's suggested here, to cover the 2 months while the security check's happening and while we're actually investigating how to handle this in a more holistic manner that actually directly addresses the concerns. In some ways, I think the postponement would be fine.
Well, I mean, my concern about it is, first of all, I don't know whether it's strange to be postponing a decision and then he goes and gives this person extended hours and moves him to full time. But I go back to the fact that I'm not compelled yet to believe that this is, I don't think so, that this is the best path forward. That said, I mean, if you're not going to vote in favor of voting it down, that's fine. I just predict. First of all, the other thing I like of voting it down is, and letting him have a solution for 2 months, is it actually gives us 2 months, because I think that this is a very complex situation. Obviously, I guess we could postpone it for a month and then postpone it for a month again.
I may be able to help with this because I'm in the same boat as you. I'm going to vote it down. I will not postpone. I'm not in favor of this. That might help this discussion move
that
along a little quicker.
It sounds like you already have your minds made up, and with only four people here, that means it would fail. But I think that we should do what would help the district attorney's office the most at this point. And so that was my suggestion. I'm not even sure that the postponement is better. It probably is six of one, half dozen of another. But I would go with the district attorney's preference on this at this point. So that I urge people to do that rather than what they think, especially since this did pass out of the committee with jurisdiction.
Any other discussion? All in favor? Opposed?
What's the motion?
It's a vote.
No motion.
Vote.
We're just voting.
The motion is on what's on.
Yes, what's on.
Yeah, up or down.
Okay.
May I speak to this?
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes,
like that.
You raise your
hand, so
hurry up.
No, just,
you got about 10 seconds after we vote.
So, and Tracy and Eve were over there looking at the situation. We have been thrust into this situation. Right now, there are security concerns. If you turn this down, they're not going to be addressed until whenever. I think that the, I would agree with giving us the opportunity to have the full-time position for the next 2 months while everybody takes a long look at this. I don't see any easy resolution to this security issue. I will tell you from the people in my office that they feel safe with the proposal that we made. That's why we made it. That the people who were talking about doing this have over 50 years of law enforcement experience. That we would make it work, and we're here to make the best out of a bad situation. Yeah.
Chair Brighton.
So, first of all, it concerns me that you say that if this gets voted down, that it won't get addressed. Because
no, I don't think there's nothing immediately that's going to address.
Well, what can immediately address it, and this is what we discussed. What can immediately address it is you can take your part-time investigator and assign them full-time hours immediately. You can do that tomorrow.
Right.
They're on a temporary basis, but you can do that within the purview of your office. I don't know in terms of the amount of discretionary funds that exist, but that would be an issue that you could come back to the legislature if you were running short on a line, and we could find the money, knowing that you tomorrow could tell this person they have full-time hours. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I very much would like to see a security analysis, and I am very wary about speaking. We're talking about security issues, so I'm very wary about speaking publicly in any great detail about my concerns. But suffice it to say that I think we need this security analysis by the sheriff, and then I think we're going to have to address a more holistic issue. I certainly, with due respect, would ask that you take this part-time position and make it full-time immediately. If that's what you're saying you feel you need for the office, I think then that's what you need to do. In the interim, we need to actually address the concerns that are raised, which are security concerns. And again, I will be more than happy to have conversations in executive session, but I do not feel comfortable having conversations in a public session.
I will say that's
related
fine.
To security.
You know, I just wanted to have the authority to go forward with two full-time people. I can do that, you're right, and I will do that, and that's fine.
Thanks. I don't know if I said it, but I did request that the sheriff does a security analysis of this space. So he's in Washington right now, but he committed to doing it this week or early next week. So we will have that. And then I think that'll be very helpful in really figuring out, you know, it's possible this space is just not going to work, you know, and I think that's what we need to put our energy into. And what I fear the most, because I'm 100% behind making sure the district attorney and his office and his staff are as safe as possible and that they can function as high as possible. I'm on their team. I would actually be hesitant to anything like this that looks like the problem solved. You know, and so I think it were much smarter to be clear without getting into specifics that the problem is not solved and we need to solve the problem.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to confirm, I know that there will be discussions between finance and the district attorney tomorrow, that it would be an alternative work schedule for a period of time. So.
All right. So final vote, all those in favor, all those opposed. Motion defeated. 51, approving the authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute the packet.
I'll second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. 52, authorizing the chair of the
second.
I'll second.
Failed. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried. 53, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an agreement with Ulster County Court of Public Service.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second.
Failed. Discussion? Chair Bertels.
So I have a couple questions on this. First of all, are we subleasing it for what we pay for it? I don't know who.
Probably not.
Are we subleasing it for the same price that we pay for it?
Voices Lane. This is the
Bosie
space. I have to look at the lease. I know it is right in that proximity of $15 per square foot.
So we're, and it, just to be clear, this is the same for 53 and 54. We are renting space, and we are proposing that we are going to sublease it to other tenants.
And we've always done that with Department of Labor. They've always been a partner with OET in the same space. So that's
In both the cases?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is, and I just don't know if 1588 is the exact, but I recall reviewing the OET lease because we just passed that last session in the winter, and it was right in that proximity. I just knew it.
Okay. And we're what's included in the backup is just the sublease. We're allowed to sublease in the original lease? I didn't see that. There's no
covenant. It would have had to have been. We can't enter into a space. We've always been linked with DOL, especially.
Okay.
Since they've moved there, we've had to.
Yeah.
All right, great. Yeah.
So this is leased for the same amount that we're paying for the lodge.
I mean, I know it was like in that 15. I know it was 15. I just don't know if it's the 1588. I can look at the base lease. I just, off the top of my head, I would.
Can I ask for motion postpone 1 week?
Yeah.
All right, and then get you the base lease.
Yeah.
Can
I? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Do you have further discussion on this?
No.
Okay.
Postpone for 1 week.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
54, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute a memorandum of agreement with the.
Motion to discuss.
Second.
Second.
Alter discussion.
Motion to postpone for 1 week.
Second. All those in favor? Motion carried. 55, approving the execution. Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Will we block
59?
Yeah. 59, second.
I'll second the block.
All those in favor of blocking?
Aye.
Okay. I'm motion for the block.
I move for the
second.
Block.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 60. Approving the exclusive contract amendment.
I move it.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 61. Approving the exclusive contract for the HVC 50,000.
I move it.
Second. Second. Here for those. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 62. Approving the exclusive contract.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 63.
I move it.
Second.
Second.
For those. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 48.
64.
Sorry, 48. Resolution 64. Can I have a motion?
Move it.
Second.
I'll second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 65.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Chair Bartels. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 66.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion.
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. 67.
Move it.
Close. Second.
Second.
Chair Bartels. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. 68.
I'll move
motion.
It.
Second. Bertel.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. 69.
Move
motion.
It.
Second.
I'll second.
Second. Discussion. No. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carried. 70.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion. Chair Bertel.
So, this, I'm still trying to get to the bottom of this. This, obviously, this is one of those examples. You know, we have a small contract amendment amount. That's why it's before us, and I'm not really taking issue with that. But it caused us to look more closely at this resolution, which it turns out, it's best of my understanding, and I haven't fully dug into this yet, this contract is on some kind of automatic renewal where it's outside of its regular term. It's not coming to us for renewal. It's coming to us only when there's amendments. So I don't know if there are examples of this elsewhere in the county, and I'll reach out to the exec's office. I'd love to see a list of all contracts. I mean, certainly starting with IS that are on automatic renewal. I mean, I think it's an error. I think it's an oversight because we have to approve these contracts. And again, I can report back with more specifics. But this is just what I've been alerted to as it relates to this one.
Software.
Yeah.
So this is licensing agreements for our scheduling and routing software for our paratransit and apps. So I guess it might be a specific to the software thing that these things come up like amendments or automatic renewals.
Or when there are amendments, my understanding, and maybe Natalie can speak to it more, but my understanding is when there are amendments, like today, it comes to us. But when there aren't amendments and it's outside of the term, like even if, let's say it has been a 2-year term, on the third year, it's automatically renews and we didn't approve it. And that it counts for a lot of money. It's a mistake, and it needs to be identified across the organization, and we're going to have to deal with it. We wouldn't have been aware of it. I thank our financial people for seeing it. We wouldn't have been aware of it. This is another reason why, you know, I appreciate the threshold, even though it's not always, you know, sometimes it's mundane with the 80. And again, I'm not alleging anything. Was intentional, but I think we need to fix it, and we need to identify if it exists anywhere else in the system. Thank you.
Yeah. While you're looking into them, I could be wrong, but I don't think I've heard this, that New York State has where if you have an automatic renewal, it can't exceed 5 years. So if your term was up to 3-year agreement, and it the 3-year agreement, but it has automatic renewal unless canceled. I think you max you can go is up to the 5-year mark before you have to renew an agreement itself. That's just some good.
Yeah, I mean it's for $8,800.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it, but I do want to get it procedurally corrected.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
So carried. 71. Authorization of the chair. Let's second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. 72. Is the motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second.
Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 75. Second.
I'll second.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
No.
Sorry.
Discussion. So this is adopting the local law, which applies to, which basically takes the recommendations and applies them across the board. I've said that I'm really challenged with this one. You know, it's long been my position to not vote on my own salary in an existing term. Like, it would be different for me to vote on salary of a legislator for the next term. So it puts me in a funny position because I do think many of the rest of the recommendations are critically important. I suspect that this is going to pass on the floor. And I also incidentally want to say that I actually feel that the legislature was not fairly treated in the analysis, not as we compare to our neighboring counties. We're among the lowest paid, and I know, not just speaking for myself, how many hours people put in. So that is not to say that I don't think the legislature deserves this modest increase, which it is very modest. So I'm really interested where the vote is today because I feel it's important to send it to the floor. And since we have only 4 of us here today, I would want to know.
I'm a yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm only voting yes to get it to the floor, but I will be a no on the floor for the exact same reason. I don't think we should be approving our own increase within the year that we're sitting here. I would do it effective, you know, next term, but for the legislature. But I agree, there's other elected officials who we need to do something about quickly. You know, it should have been done a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, I feel similar. It always bothered me that this was all combined into one because I wouldn't want to shortchange the other electeds. I even know that the incoming executive didn't want that raise. So it kind of got me that it's not separated out so that we can sort of vote on them separately. I'll vote yes, no. I'm not sure what I'll do on the floor, but I would have liked this to have been separated out.
Can I ask that we then postpone a week so we can talk about a caucus tonight?
Sure.
I mean, I'd be okay. I think no matter what, it's going to need to go to the floor.
Yeah.
So.
Again,
I could go either way. In the spirit of collegiality,
if
everyone
wants.
Can we amend it? Can we amend it?
Legislator, you should tell them to say something.
I just want to say that, just to clarify, these weren't combined into one. This is literally the process that's outlined in the charter, right?
Right.
That we get the recommendation
right.
from the independent commission,
it.
And if we don't like the process, we should change the process rather than just voting down the output. I don't think people overwhelmingly want to vote down the output. It sounds like there's actually a lot of agreement here. You know, I just, that's what I wanted to say.
I don't know if the recommend, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, was the recommendation one specified a time, a date for a start as opposed to the amount. So I don't think that if we had made the legislative one to, or to start as of the next term, they would have said that we're not listening to them. But I also don't know if separating it out is the same thing as not accepting their, they've made recommendations of the amount. That's the part that we're supposed to accept. So we're not going and saying not 15, it should be 16, not this much. Like that, I think, would be completely inappropriate to not accept the recommended amounts. But I don't feel like it's necessary that the every other element is,
No, so, again, I don't have all of it in front of me, but I don't, one, I don't think we're obliged, I don't think we're obliged to take the recommendations. I think we could take part of the recommendations or all the recommendations. We could double the recommendations. We could cut them in half. We can do whatever we want, except we have to notice what the numbers are. We're required to do that. And we did that at the numbers recommended.
Right.
So, and we budgeted for the numbers recommended. So if we go outside of that parameter, we would either have to re-notice and, you know, extend the process out, or, you know, I mean, really, that's our only option. I suspect we could take the legislature out. And again, I feel very conflicted because I think the legislature, such a modest increase that, you know, I don't know that that's the way to do it either. And to Deputy Majority Leader Uchtel's point, I mean, I do believe, based on hearing from colleagues, that the support is there for this as a whole package, which is why we can take it either way. I would vote, while I was prepared to vote no here, I would vote yes in the spirit of collegiality with everyone, hearing that everyone has there of certain levels of concern, to send it to the floor, and then on the floor would vote. But I also, if you want to wait a week, you can wait a week.
If we waited the week, just remember procedurally, we did make an amendment. If we had next week's waiting meeting, does it still be made on the floor? Or so then it doesn't matter. So if we, either way, if we send it to the floor tonight and somebody wants to make an amendment, we can make an amendment on the floor. So either way, it doesn't matter.
So I got a question. So this is a local law, and we've had a public hearing on this, right? So does this substantially change that law by removing the legislature from that? I think it does,
mm-hmm.
And that would require us to go back to the
drawing
board.
That's what I'm saying about noticing.
Right?
We'd have to re-notice.
So, I just think that, you know, we bring it to the floor, up or down, and move on, right? This is never going to be an easy vote. Never, right? And it, you know, whatever, I served on that committee for 8 years on that periodic compensation committee, only to see months and months of work come to the legislative floor and ripped up, thrown out, and this is what we're going to do. And we had some really progressive ideas proposed at the time. I'm not going to rehash that, but, you know, this is a very plain and simple, giving people deserved raises, you know. That's my opinion. So.
You're being very generous. The legislature didn't read it.
Legislature, you should talk.
Yeah, I just I think
it was terrible.
I think that the changing of salary or pulling someone out of it would effectively be changing them back to the old salary. So that's setting a salary, right, to remove one of the lines here. So I don't think that would fly personally. I wouldn't support it under any circumstance. At this stage, right? The start date, you know, I believe their recommendation was, you know, that it should be implemented immediately. I don't know that there's wiggle room in the start date, but that's the only wiggle room that I could even fathom.
That's the only one being asked for, but it would be for
well,
a whole,
if that's
the whole thing.
If that's
no,
the case,
no, but
that would
but
be
I
right.
agree. I wouldn't want to have this go back to public hearing. I don't think any of us want to delay for the others in any way.
That's there.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of disagreement over what a
salary should be, how this all has gone. So I hope that however this vote turns out, and that we continue this discussion. I personally have an opinion about how we should do this sort of thing in the future that I will be proposing to the Charter Revision Commission. I'll share that in a few minutes as well. But at the moment, I encourage the support of this.
All right, so we're good with moving forward.
Okay.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
That was easy.
Sure.
20 years later.
All right, these are the forthcoming resolutions. Comptroller Gallagher.
Missed you guys.
Hi.
Happy New Year. Glad to see you back. I want to give you an update on my expenditures, our audit work, and state budget, and I'll try to be brief because my nephew is a forward for the Indiana Hoosiers, and he's got a big game start. So I wanted to bring up to see that our sales tax, we collected 163 of 143 million budgeted, so 114% of what was budgeted. And we still have one more payment coming. Last year, that payment was around $2 million. So that's because we sense of where we're going to be closing out 2022 in sales tax revenues. Occupancy tax was 126% for $3.6 million. So you guys are thinking about doubling occupancy tax? You're looking at a nice number next year or the year after, let's say. We are looking at occupancy tax collections right now in my office, and we firmly believe we are not capturing the whole short-term rental market. There are a lot of properties that are not compliant with occupancy tax law, and they are not necessarily paying what they should be, and these are properties that are listing outside of Airbnb. So, platforms you may never have heard of, like Kid and Company. Kid and Co., yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do those companies have similar agreements?
No. Unfortunately, none of them have similar agreements. I know one county was able to get an agreement with VRBO, but they are the only other county in New York. Only one county in New York has it, a VRBO agreement.
Until we're number two.
I mean, we would love to have an agreement with anybody that we can, but yeah, so it's concerning. But hopefully we'll be able to shed more light on exactly what we think the lost revenue potential is. Did you have a question?
It was the same one.
Yeah.
I mean, I was wondering if VRBO, what you answered it.
Yeah, I think it's going to take us a few weeks to get back to you on that, but we look forward to sharing more information on that. I also wanted to let you know that we earned an additional $1.2 million in interest income since our investment audit resulted in Ulster County getting a better investment rate through Bank of Greene County. We estimate that we could have added another $280,000 if we had also invested with NICLASS. Furthermore, we have, at this time, $200 million, you guys, at Bank of Greene County. $114 million is in our Deposit Plus account. One of the first rules of investment is diversification. We are not diversified. I say it every time I'm here. I'm going to say it again. We should have a diversified investment portfolio. We don't.
And I imagine we're the largest depositor,
too. On the
too.
Expenditure side, you know, it takes us a while to book all of our expenditures. So departments are finalizing their 2022 expenditures and getting all their invoices and stuff in.
Who
so we will not really be able to give you a clear picture of the expenditure side. Plus, we're going to have adjusting journal entries that don't happen until the end of April. So at this time, I can't really give you a good picture on the expenditure side. And I won't be able to provide you a quarterly report. We kind of go through this every year, where the first quarter report, we can't really get you until finance finishes the AUD. That's frustrating. I wish I could give you more information sooner. I think if we can urge sooner implementation and entries of those adjusting journal entries, that would help you guys know where you stand, which I think is really important, because we have some ugly stuff coming down the pipe. You know, we know from NYSAC's analysis of the budget that we're going to be seeing at least a $4.6 million hit on Medicaid because of the EFMAP, and I think that you're going to see some other adjusting journal entries that are going to be, you know, ratcheting down that big fund balance. So I just urge you to keep that in the back of your mind. Our audits and reports, we're deeply involved in our work with the administration and the Department of Finance right now as we finalize our delinquent real property tax audit. We're hoping that we'll have a draft to the administration for comment in the next 10 days. Obviously, we want to give, you know, that office time to really review what we're doing before we release it, but we will let you know. We've kicked off our regular risk assessment process. I mean, it's actually all year, but we've started surveying, and thank you to those of you who've answered our survey. If anyone here or any legislator has something they want to add ever on any risk they see as a potential risk for taxpayers or recipients of programs, we want to hear about it. So don't feel hemmed in with you anytime. So the last thing I want to say is that the state budget radically changes the NREM process, and it is going to put a huge burden on the Commissioner of Finance, because is it going the way it is proposed right now, it would take whatever equity is redeemed, is realized when we sell a property, that is going to go back to the taxpayer. Right now it accrues back to Ulster County. And there's going to be responsibility to look at liens as we sell properties in the foreclosure process. And it does not just apply to residential properties. This is across the board. So other counties are gearing up to approve resolutions objecting to that change. I think you should be aware of that. And I think it is incredibly likely to pass. Nobody wants to force a little old lady out of her home because of foreclosure, especially in the housing crisis that we're in right now. But this change is going to really change the way we handle NREM properties. It's going to be a huge burden on the county. It's going to cost the county revenue, and it is not just fully restricted to residential.
Can I just ask a clarification? I don't know if you have it on that proposed change. Is the equity that goes back to the previous homeowner, that's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
The equity based on the sale price,
yes,
or the assessed price?
Sale price.
Sale.
So it's sale price
minus
back taxes and fees.
Yep.
By the way, I think, you know, if this happens, we need $150,000 fee for property.
I mean, I looked at it quick. The one issue we're going to have, even budgetarily, I budget a surplus that we receive. It's gone. And the one concern I do have, it doesn't look like any of the liens will be extinguished. So who's going to take these properties? The other part is,
negative.
You know, just thinking I could be an owner, create an LLC, put a lien on my own property. I then sell it. You know, it goes to the county. That lien never goes away on that property.
I need to really process
it. And this is just first glance looking at
there's
it.
No,
there's a lot more
that,
issues
right?
I can go through. Yeah, but it's a big problem.
Who proposed that?
All right, from where we sit, we're concerned they did not seek the input of people like the commissioner's office, you know, in drafting this, and I think that that's a real, you know, a real lack of thoughtful policy.
Well, I mean, just even to Commissioner Goldman's last point, I would hope that on a point like that, that we as a county would be raising the specter to the state. In
but
terms
it,
of
I will say
potential.
It's very likely to pass.
But I'm
as
saying
is,
to point,
honest,
but,
I hate to say it.
But we can't be silent
no.
as it relates
no.
to something like you're
yeah.
talking about.
I know
NYSAC
is getting all the inputs from counties.
Yeah.
We always reach out to the governor's office specifically on any budget concerns as well.
Yeah.
Our regional
and you
rep.
Know the FMAP stuff is
please
assembly countywide, statewide.
Assembly people.
Yeah.
And we're going to turn a corner. We're going to head into like, you know, collapsing revenues, not
yes.
just expanding
correct.
Revenues. I think you guys you know, need to be aware of that.
You mean it might start
I mean,
raining?
I might ask
oh.
The commissioner to come back to us with an analysis of what the potential impact
mm-hmm.
is on all of these things
yeah.
that are potentially
yeah.
that the comptroller's raised
yeah.
and any
and,
other
and
any other concerns.
And I know one thing the comptroller didn't bring up too, just to point out, the assigned counsel, 18B,
mm-hmm.
is going from $75 to $158. So roughly, you know, $800,000 in expenses I pay out of my office. Think of $1.6 million now.
Mm-hmm.
Just first glance.
But so, you know, through the chair, could I ask that you
yes.
quantify this in a memo?
Yeah, sure.
Just, I mean,
absolutely.
I think it's going to be
important.
I know
we're working. We're still looking into the state budget, but
well,
definitely can get you some.
Another reason it's going to be critically important is we're going to be undertaking really looking at the surplus
yeah.
and dedicating.
Mm-hmm.
And having that discussion with the executive office about the dedication of the,
mm-hmm.
the
yes.
surplus in a
reserve
way.
Funds. We need.
Yes.
We're
yes.
Gonna
exactly.
Need.
So
it could also affect Albany County flagged on the NYSAC call I was on yesterday. The effect on land banks and
yes.
purchase price on properties. So we need to. Albany County, who has a pretty robust, as you know, land
yeah.
bank program, is flagging this that this could affect their ability to be successful.
And
how much
again,
is,
we
sorry.
Wouldn't be able to take properties, clear liens, transfer them to a land bank. You'd
they
be
transfer
stuck.
For $1. They don't transfer
but
for the tax.
A lien
taxpayer.
The liens that are still there. And I
it looks
that.
Like they're trying to prevent
yeah.
the counties
and
from foreclosing on properties. They're trying. It looks like it's potentially difficult.
And that property owner that didn't get his money from that sale,
yeah,
could he do a lawsuit to use that you didn't sell my property?
So,
who's supporting this?
This is the governor.
This is in the governor's budget proposal.
Is it? You think it's a result of the skyrocketing cost of housing and the profits that were made, like we made? You know, is that the impetus to this, the amount of increased revenue that we realized because houses, you know, went...
I think, again, though,
I talked about that last year.
To me, it doesn't solve the problem. People are going to leave their homes. They're going to leave their homes, go to a different state.
But they're going to make enough money where they'll be able to buy a bigger house. You know,
go to another state.
In theory.
Pending litigation in another state that is likely to go to the Supreme Court on this matter, where a woman had like a $2,000 or $3,000 bill for property was foreclosed on. A little old lady, it was sold for $91,000. She didn't get the money, and she's suing and saying it's taking. And that is likely to succeed. So I think you also see the governor's office trying to step out in front of that issue.
I'm just trying to understand like that portion of it. I understand more than I need to really wrap my head around the lien issue, which is a different issue. And when you're talking about a possible outlier or workaround, that's of serious concern. The other is, I mean, frankly, the other issue has been on the table in this legislature for as long as I've been here. Rich Parity used to, we had former legislator Zimmet who voted, you know, ceremoniously against every foreclosure, and Rich Parity every time who stood up and said we should be giving this money to the property owners after removing the fees. I mean, you were there for that too.
Yeah.
So it's like this is a conversation that's been had, but this potential loophole, I think,
the liens are an issue.
Is a real serious
the liens are an issue.
Concern. Yeah.
And as Comptroller Gallagher says, it's not just residential; it's commercial lending.
Yeah, just think about the work that we had to do to get iPark clear.
There you go.
With the liens to do that,
sale,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a big portion of the holdup, right?
Thank you, Carol.
Legislative Green.
Thank you.
I just would like to request that we have a little time before the budget is going to be passed, and I wonder if both the Comptroller's Office and the Budget Office could create a memorializing resolution, and that we don't just pass the resolution, but that we try to send some representatives to meet with the governor's office or the lieutenant governor and our state assembly and Senate representatives. I think this is really important and that we should push back and weigh in.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Bye.
Thank you. I made a mistake.